Blog Talk Radio.
I'm 28 and never bit it for the pigs. I'm grateful, especially for them nights I had work all on the table. Taking trips to get it, had me feeling like I'm raped. Took them risks for my daughter, had to show them I was able. Taking personal losses just to ensure we were stable. Drinking away the pain with apple juice and the maple. Few brothers wanna kill me, feel like I'm Cain and Abel. It hurt more when the ones who betrayed you wanna betray you. I don't think they hear me. Nah, they should've stayed in school. Worry about making a name until they make the news. Won the ball like Mayweather, forgetting April Fools. Chose to play in the game and then I chose to break the rules. Pulled it up, trying to get it. Can find me by the bricks. Fiends running up and down the strip, trying to get their fix. First cousin, pull me to the side, try and get a nick. But this the type of shit you experience when you in the mix. This shit a trip. Old man snake me out of some fucking bands. Crazy party pleaded to me, needed a helping hand. First thought was telling him no. He said he had a plan. Said fuck it, ain't use my judgment. And gave his ass a chance. Small money don't mean nothing. I need 100 grand. Niggas tripping, burning they bridges. Shit, I don't understand. Plug put me square on the mound. I pissed it underhand. Bartender mixing the liquid. Shit, you don't understand. Used to play the spot of the block every night here. Really earn my rights there by getting youngins right there. Hoodie on, bottle full of monkey in my night air. Moving all them circles to one day get me a nice square. Ain't thinking about no lose. Man, I'm trying to have a crew, be able to walk into the mall, then leave out with a zoo. Just a pull up in the Hamptons to a mansion in the view. Cause we done came a long way from selling candy on the stoop. Nights freezing in them jacks to get the semen off my steps. All marble when I walk in, gotta watch out for deaths. Always take it to the rack, can't defeat me with a press and stock mops. We ain't the type to alleviate
the mess. Just took a crazy loss, cause my plug was rushing. I done felt, I brushed it off and got back to the money. Poor side of down 20, ain't shit you gon' tell me. Can't get it with the wet, I got it back with the 20. And I've been plugged in before, still ain't shit you could sell me. So much residue that I left in them tellies. Don't use the black light. My trap life, got them looking for me with a flashlight. Just to be a skater on my head pipe. Whole lot of trap nights, praying that I stack right. Hit it with that act right to get my money in shack height. Used to give it half price just to get a stash right. Don't know why I'm staying used to the shit I went through last night. Still I watch left right. Nights like this, part of the sacrifice. Doing wrong to obtain a blessing. Clutching that cannon tight. Praying that they don't catch you lagging and get your cabbage sliced. But drugging at the same time. Hustling without a sane mind. Cause you try and feed your peace and lead the streets the same time. Trials come with either side, so it's never a peace of mind. Brought this little peace of mind, so you don't take a piece of mind. My main goal was make it home. That's something you should keep in mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. I got my co-host, GG. What's going on?
Everything's good, my brother. Everything is good, man. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. 41, man.
Yeah. About 1 week later, man. Happy birthday. You had a major celebration, man. Major celebration. I saw that the wife took care of you. The team took care of you. So it was good, man, to see you celebrated, my brother.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the video, too, man. I know you couldn't make it up, but I seen the video. It was dope.
Yeah, I felt good, man. You know, like it reminded me of when Martin had his birthday party at Nipsey's, right? And all the celebrities was on the video wishing him happy birthday, man. So it was kind of cool to be able to stay tapped in with you. So good, man. Salute to you. I want to welcome everybody. I want to officially welcome everybody to Necessary Convo. I just had a few folks, man, that I recently connected with that said that they was going to tap in. So I want to make sure that I give them the proper disclosures and disclaimers, you know. This show, guys, is formerly known as Freaky Friday. Obviously, it's not Friday no more, right? But more important than that, we decided to create a bigger platform with a wider horizon of topics. And so that's how Necessary Convo came about. Myself, GG, of course, Tone. You got two perspectives from two men. And, you know, folks always talking about men don't communicate effectively. They don't voice their opinion. Well, damn it, this is the show for that. So there's no excuses. You can ask any questions that you want, any topics that you guys want to converse about. That's what we're here for. So you don't have to go out there creating posts knowing damn well that no men are going to answer your questions honestly on your posts because people will see them. And then, you know, again, you know, brothers don't be wanting to get attacked. Brothers don't want to get attacked on social media, Tone. It's a whole tug of war, battle of the sexes situation. So, this is it. Every Sunday, 7 p.m. You know, ideally, we're supposed to be on here for what, an hour? That's never happened in the history of the show. Two seasons in.
Never.
Tone, do me a favor, though, man. Can you go ahead and let everybody know exactly how to tap in, whether it's on your phone or whether it's via online, and then that way everybody will actually know what to do if this is your first time on the call?
Definitely. You know, if you want to get other people on, you want to spread the word, it's 516-387-1268. That's 516-387-1268. If you're on and you want to talk to myself, GG, ask a question or answer a question, All you have to do is press 1 and we'll get you on. We do have a chat. So if you're listening online or you want to listen online, you can go to GEI Radio, click the link, or necessary_convo and click the link. And you can chop it up with us online as well in a chat. That's it right there, man.
Yeah, that's it right there, man. So let's see. A lot going on in the world, man. The world is opening back up. Travel is at an all-time high, whether it's your vehicle, whether it's on a plane, train, automobile. It's wide open right now, man. How's things in your area, up there in the Maryland area? DMV altogether.
Yeah, it's back. You wouldn't think that it was we went through what we went through. I mean, stores, mall, everything is packed. It's back to normal. Concerts and everything going on, man.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you know, here in Atlanta. Yeah, I mean, in a way, for the morale purposes, it's good to see that because, you know, people were in the house. A lot of depression was sitting in. People, you know, weren't getting the proper health care because they're scared to go to the hospitals. You know, people working from home, folks getting fat. And I ain't going to lie, man. I picked up so much weight. I was like, yo, hold on a minute. This ain't going to work because, you know, just certain things that I need to be doing, you know, on the set, doing videos and things like that. You know, I have to represent, you know, my best version of myself on all aspects, man, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And so it's tough, man. You know, you eat, you don't, you know, the gyms, you kind of don't want to go to the gyms and things like that. So I know for me, man, a lot of different things set in to where I just kind of found myself not being as active as possible. But one thing that I was really active in was eating. Hey, I was an active eater, man. I'd be eating every hour and a half, snacks, late night, and all that stuff, man. And so about 2 weeks ago, I went ahead and kind of put myself on a regiment, man. Dropped about 14, 15 pounds. And, you know, the clothes fit back right, man. I don't have to, you know, create a new belt loop for my belts. You know, shit is just, you know, hey, man, you just got to charge it to the game sometimes, man. But anyway,
I think a lot of people went through that.
That's that. Yeah, I think a lot of people went through it, man. And it's, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, continue to stay positive. Make sure that you and your family is good, because it's easy to look around and see what people are doing, see what people aren't doing, and you don't know how they got what they got. You know, and you so worried about, okay, they taking trips or they traveling, they buying new stuff. You don't know how they got that stuff. You can't concern yourself with that. You can't compare yourself to anyone because, you know, we're our only competition. So we just have to be better than we were the day before and keep pushing forward on that, man. So I want to encourage everybody, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, you know what I mean? You just have to take control right now, because that's all you can do is take control right this very moment.
Definitely.
All right, man. So we got an interesting show today. When Tone shot me this information, y'all, I was kind of skeptical. I'm like, man, do you really want to go this route today? And then I thought about it, and I thought that it was pretty interesting, and I think that everybody on this call has experienced their own experience, and so everybody should be able to tap in on this subject matter, and I'm ready for it. So Tony, let's do it, bro. Let's get it.
Cool. So I was having a conversation with a couple of friends or whatever, and we was talking about single parents, right? And they were saying that,
yeah,
you know, saying that, you know, like it's impossible for a woman to raise a man on her own, and that it's impossible for a father to raise a daughter on his own. And I just couldn't agree with that. I just couldn't agree with that because I've seen it done. Now, I haven't seen the single father and daughter situation. I haven't seen that, but I've seen a ton of mothers raise sons. I've seen that situation, so I just didn't understand where they was coming from. So I just wanted to bring it to the table, you know, and ask, how do you feel about that? And the listeners, you know, do you think that a single woman can raise a man successfully on her own, or vice versa?
Yeah. Well, vice versa, and that could be challenging. That could be controversial. Only because you got to think about just the numbers. You know, how many single mothers have raised sons? The numbers are astronomical. Obviously, the lesser of the statistics are going to be single fathers raising daughters, and I think the biggest thing for that, in my opinion, is going to be a support system. There's some people that have done it completely on their own, but the support system, the village, has always played a big part, whether it's a single parent or whether it's a two-parent home. So that support system could be grandma, it could be auntie, it could be unk, you know what I mean? It could be some close friends, it could be, you know, just neighbors and things like that. So for me, I would have to calculate that into it, because I don't necessarily think that anybody raises their kids completely alone. I mean, it's a challenge as it is with a two-parent home and, you know, both of them working or trying to run businesses and things like that. But I do think for this purpose, for context purpose, when we talk about a mother raising a son, man, I think that is that's pretty challenging. But I think it's also more common. And so when you start talking about a father raising a daughter, man, I think that I'm not gonna say is more remarkable, but I'm gonna say more admirable, because girls, man, are something else. I have three daughters, one son and three daughters. And I've never been in a situation to where I was completely alone and it was just me and one of my daughters or me and my daughters. But I do remember being single and having my, at the time, 3-year-old and 5-year-old. And, man, it, you know, just finding things for them to do, keeping them away from, you know, I didn't have them away from anybody. I didn't have them with anyone that I was dating. And I want to say that my dating was kind of limited because, you know, I'm trying to make sure that these girls are good. I'm trying to keep them entertained. They going at it. You know, those ages, those 2-3 years apart, man, those girls, they go at it. They love each other, but, you know, they head to head with it. And so I just remember, man, just trying to find as many resources as possible to keep them balanced and keep them entertained and keep them, you know, with stuff to do. And for me, I just felt like it was a lot more challenging. And, you know, obviously I had help with my mom and some family members, man. But I remember that being a struggle, because naturally, guys, we don't, you know, we're not that domesticated naturally when it comes, you know, washing clothes and changing diaper, you know, being the sole provider for those things. I just remember, man, it being so tough to where I was just like, look, man, if I date somebody, if I finally date someone, since I'm not with their mamas, right, if I finally date, she gonna have to be domesticated like crazy, man. She's just going to have to be. And so that was, you know, that was something that I was just like,
give me a partner. So let's talk about the women raising the men, right? You know, a lot of people say a woman can't raise a man, but we've all seen it done so many times. Why do you think that perception is out there like that.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that the significance of a man in the household, right, as a leader, as a provider, and not just monetary, we'll deal with that shortly, but just the presence of a man for security, protection, like I said, leadership, and really just having that male presence, which typically is a dominant presence, right? You know, everybody kind of fears dad, you know what I mean? Or in a reverence way, not, you know, scared of him, but just all of those things, man, I think play a large part in, and that's what young men need to start preparing for. They need to start preparing to be leaders. They need to start preparing to be providers. They need to, you know, start learning how to take care of things around the house, you know, or whatever, you know, that that atmosphere is. They need to learn how to work, you know, a.k.a. fish. They need to learn how to do those things, man. They need to be able to take care of some basic maintenance, and vehicles, mm-hmm. and houses and things like that, because that is a role. I mean, that is a gender role that I feel like every male needs to possess on a basic level. And so, you know, it's kind of out of place. Typically, just call it what it is. It's kind of out of place for a woman to be doing all of those things and doing her other domestic duties, whether it's cooking and cleaning and you know, all of those things, and whatever her occupation is, if she works, you know, those type of things. You know, there has to be some type of balance. And so I just think that it's important and for males to see a male figure take charge and be a leader and support that woman as they see the woman support him. And so I think that's the biggest challenge is just seeing a woman do all those things. Not that they can't, but just seeing her do all those things, because at some point she gonna get burnt out, man. Every woman gets burnt out at some point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everybody's, I mean, we've seen it before. And so I don't feel like a woman cannot do it, because obviously it's being done. But I do think that there are some things to where she just needs to be able to be a woman and do her thing. And a part of being a woman is allowing herself to be taken care of at some point, right? She has to be refilled. And so, I mean, who's going to do it? Who's going to do
it?
Because we all know that the ladies, they'll keep going, man. They won't say shit. They'll keep going. They won't ask for shit. You know, some of them won't. And then, you know, when they burnt out, man, they entirely burnt out. And so that kind of puts them at a tough spot. So I just think that those things are important, especially the protection and security part.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We got a call. Let's go, GG.
Yeah.
9766 GR Radio, you on?
Hey, welcome to the show. Hey, welcome to the show. Did you mean to press 1 to get in?
Yeah, I did have to press. How you guys doing this season?
All right, and yourself?
Hey, everything is good. Everything
I am
good.
Doing well. I just wanted to, you know, just chime in. I haven't been on in
Please.
A couple of weeks. Missed you guys. Love your show always. But, you know, traditionally, yes, you know, I would have agreed that a woman cannot raise a man, and the same thing for a man raising a woman. But, oh, my goodness, times have changed so drastically. Now it's no longer a gender-specific role. It's a love role, and doing whatever needs to be done to make that son a productive member of society or that daughter a productive member of society. And I see men doing the damn thing, and I see women doing the damn thing. And, you know, especially now, look at graduation season.
Yeah.
The success in that. Numbers. We're doing it because we have to. If I need to learn how to change the oil so I can show you how to do it, we're doing what we got to do. So there was that time, and, yeah, everybody gets burnt out, men and women. But we doing what we got to do. Again, it's no longer a gender, you know, gender-specific role. It's more of a love role.
I dig it. And first of all, thank you for setting things off. I'm pretty sure that there'll be a lot of follow-ups just off of what you said alone. So I'm going to challenge you a little bit. You know, that's just what you get for being assertive.
Okay.
So I'm going to challenge you. as a woman raising a male, and look at today's time as well, right? How do you feel that affects a young man's masculinity being raised by a woman, also having an influence of other women? Because obviously, mom has friends, right? And I'm not talking about Uncle Junior and Uncle Loki. I'm talking about mom has friends. Mom has, you know, Tina and Stephanie and Leanne and all them. So,
right.
So son sees, you know, the girls hanging out or just coming over for drinks, dancing, dresses, talking about shoes and fashion and things like that. How do you feel that affects a young man's masculinity growing up, if at all?
Well, I can only speak from personal experience. You know, my son, there was always respect. You know how you have, I'm a little bit older, so you'll have those women. Ooh, child, if you was a little bit older,
girl, right.
Yeah, don't play. If you was a little bit, if he was a little bit older and you tried it, I'm going to kill you. So, you know, I'm being
mama
facetious, but yeah, mama don't play that really. But he grew up to be a wonderful man, wonderful father, wonderful provider. You know, I had to bury him a couple of years ago, but.
Wow. God bless. Wow.
But even, you know, even that term, single mother, single father, you touched on that, Gigi, when you were talking about having that support network. If you are the mother in the household, the father's not there, but if he's still part of the picture, helping you rear, whether it's the son going over there on the weekend, you're not a single mother. So again, that's word. You know, it takes a village. It definitely
sure.
takes a village. So, but if there's a positive influence, there's going to be a positive outcome, whatever the outcome is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think that you can't alienate your kids from figures, male figures. You know, sometimes ladies will do that if they resent the child's father. They're like, okay, well, all men, so I don't want him around any men. And I think those situations are when, you know, because kids feel that energy, right? They feel off of it. They feel it. And so I think it also has a lot to do with how that parent values the opposite sex, not just that child's father or mother, but how they value or devalue the opposite sex. And I think that stuff kind of flows through the kid inadvertently sometimes.
You are so right. They feel
positive.
Everything. They feel everything.
Like you said,
and whether you get along,
yeah.
whether whether you get along with that parent or not, you put a united front on in front of those kids. That's why we have so many screwed up kids out here hating, you know, hating women, hating men, hating, you know, being disrespectful and all of that stuff, because indirectly we have brainwashed our children into thinking that way. We got to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for chiming in. We appreciate you and your support.
I appreciate
you
as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the next caller, Gigi. 5-6.
Okay, hold on before we go into the next, because I want to set the plate, because I want to dig in a little bit deeper in what I said, because we got one example, but I want to make sure that we address this as well, because I think this is key. When we talk about the kids' influences as single parents, because we have to address that as well, how do you guys feel? And like I mentioned earlier, we had one caller address it, but I want everybody to at least chime in a little bit. When it comes to a woman, you know, a mother and her son, how do you look at those influences if that father is not in the picture, and especially how does it affect his masculinity? Because one of the things that I've seen is sometimes the mother tries to overcompensate in that relationship to where instead of a mother and a son, it's kind of a mother and her little man, if you will. These men grow up to be something, right? Because if we're complaining about the guys, right? The guys nowadays, you can't find a man that's honest. You can't find a man that's faithful. These were once little boys, right? And some of these little boys were raised by single mother. Some of them was raised by a single father. Some of them was raised by grandma and them, right? So I want to really dig in and kind of go up under the surface. And because men are usually the topic, right? There's not enough good men. So let's kind of dig in. And I think that this may give us a little indication of how some men are like they are.
Yeah.
Are they ready for that? Because that's a necessary combo.
I know for me, my pops was in my pops was there, but I just, you know, I wanted to stay with my grandmother. So my grandmother raised me. But it was just a lot of things that she did. Like, for instance, when she used to, you know, do her makeup, get dressed, I had to go in another room. I couldn't watch her do that. You know what I'm saying?
She
never let me touch her purse ever. It was never like, go get my purse or go touch that. So a lot of things that I think some people, mothers, like, overlook. You know, I always tell my sisters, I don't think a woman should get dressed in front of a young boy.
I don't think a
single mother, I don't think a kid should watch that, because in my mind, I could be wrong, watching that over and over and over, maybe he think that's how he should get dressed. If there is no father figure in the house, or coming to get him on the weekends, and all he sees is his mom, you know, putting on makeup, the heels, the hair, lashes, you know. So I know my grandmother wasn't having that. Like, when the girls came over, when her friends came over, I had to go back in the room. I couldn't sit out the living room with them.
Right.
I couldn't listen to them talk. So it was just little things, you know, that my grandmother did for me. I guess that was for protecting me. I don't know. Maybe, you know, some of the callers do the same thing, or they got other ways of, you know, doing it. But let's
see. Let's see. Let's get into it.
5-6-8-0 GEI Radio, you on?
Can you hear me?
Hey,
okay?
Welcome to the show. Yeah,
hi.
Loud and clear. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good,
I just wanted to find out, my children's father passed away in 2006, and I've been a single mom for about 14 years now. He passed away when they were 72. They are now 17 and 22. I've had to do it all. I've had to give love, and I've also had to be very tough on my boys. They are very respectful. They both work. They're kind. They graduated. Well, one graduated high school, on to college. The other will graduate next year. I was very opposed to dating men. I've never had men in and out of my house. They never saw me with the men in all these years because I was fearful. You know, it was challenging, but, you know, it was important for me to teach them things, for me to teach them ownership, for me to teach them the real way of the world. I always kept it real with them. I never kept anything from them. There was nobody there to really guide them but me. Social media has taken a huge toll on a lot of our young men. I'm fortunate enough that it happened with my boys, but and I am guilty of overcompensating in some areas, but doing it alone, it was hard. It's challenging, but, you know, we're making it happen.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. That's a big deal. Are you of color? Are you a sister? Because you sound like a sister.
Yes.
Okay, this is what I didn't want to assume, you know what I mean? So these are young men of color, and that's something that we didn't even really address yet. I mean, this subject can go on for hours in different episodes, but even men of color, just certain things that they have to be taught nowadays, especially, and I was going to say contrary to before, but even before our time, I mean, hell, it was dangerous out there too. But, you know, nowadays, even with, you know, we got the technology that we have to utilize. We have to make sure that we, you know, are cognizant of our whereabouts. Even to a point, you remember it was a big deal when they was like, hey, man, you need to dress a certain way just because of racial profiling. You know what I mean? I mean, it got to that point where we just had to admonish our kids, like, look, I know you like them jeans like that, and you're wearing with the belt, they sagging on, pull your shits up, right? We don't need anybody mistaking you from being someone that's in a gang or a thug or something like that just because you want to wear your clothes a certain way. So, you know, a lot of respect, and I get it. I mean, I think that the difference between a single mother and a single father, one of the most significant things is, I want to say, protection and security, right? So you got a single father, you know, just by him being a male presence, you know, he'll do whatever he got to do, hopefully, right? Hopefully that man will do whatever he got to do. But historically and traditionally, you know, the women have protected the males, especially in the community of people of color, black people. So who protects the woman, right? So you got little Marcus, he's 6 years old. Mom's is, you know, out and about in the grocery store, and then some weirdo want to come and talk to her. He's 6 years old. You know, so dude is not threatened by a little six-year-old boy. He's still going to come over there, approach mom and things like that, versus, you know, you got your dad out there, and, you know, he kind of navigates how that works. So I want to ask you, while we have, again, another mother on here, how did you feel or what did you instill with them about protecting women? Or did you protect me or watch out for me or protect women? How did you address that with your sons?
Well, I've always, you know, tried to teach them, you know, how to be respectful and the importance of being respectful, especially towards your mother, your grandmother, and other women as well. And honestly, I honestly think that my boys had just had a natural protection instinct, because at 4 years old, my youngest son, he told me, Mom, you're not allowed to have a boyfriend. I said, why not? He said, because he's not going to come in here and take his shoes off in his closet and look at me and say, me, 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 me. But they have always been just extremely protective of me, just instinct. you know, it's just something that has just been, you know, that's been going all these years. So even now, you know, as they're older, they're like, you know, Mom, where you at? You know, I'm sharing my location with them because they want to know where I'm at and what I'm doing and who I'm talking to. Who is that? He got a job.
So it's just vetting your candidates.
Yeah, it came natural for them. Yeah.
Yeah. And you got two of them, so, you know, they're going to hit you from the left and the right.
Oh, I get it. Yes, I get it.
Yeah, so fellas, be aware. Hey, appreciate that. You know, you added some gems. Thank you for sharing your experience. And, we appreciate you.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right.
Tone, one thing that I always found interesting was when I date and, you know, when I was dating, since I've been dating women with sons, right? Naturally, I was like, okay, what am I going to be dealing with, right? You know, you kind of gauge by the age, right? So if he a little nigga, right? You guys know this show is uncensored, right? If he was a little nigga, I ain't really worried about it, right? But, you know, the boys, they getting big faster now, right? So if I go in there and I'm meet her son at some point or whatever, and he may be 6'3", 260. Or he may be 6'5", you know, 225. You know, and so now I'm like, okay, so, I mean, what's up? At the same time, you don't want to be in competition. You don't want to be in competition with a woman's son, because you know it's going to be a challenge. And so I think that the overcompensation thing, I think for some women, they realize it at some point, and they're like, you know what? Hey, it is what it is. I've raised him to be, you know, a respectable young man. Obviously, at some point, he's going to have his own family. And that's kind of when things branch off a little bit. Once that son or them sons have their own family now, you know, and then mom, you know, she may be feeling some type of way about, you know, over being protective with her son and making sure that, you know, whoever she is, she ain't in it for just the money, or she ain't in it, you know, just to get them, get over on them and things like that, man. So I think it's pretty interesting, the differences between, single mom and a single father.
I think that's a cool thing. You know, if a man come in the house, like, the son should check him, you know, and fill him out, or let him, you know, see where he at. Like, you just ain't coming in here and running over at mom, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? So I think that's a cool thing for the women who have older sons. I think that's good that they check check the temperature. But we got a bunch more callers. Let's get these callers on.
Let's do it, man. Let's rock.
0850 GER Radio, you on?
Hey, welcome.
Hello,
to the show.
This is Mia. Taylor, I'm in New York City. How are you guys doing this evening?
Good.
New York, what's good? Everything is good.
Good. Glad to hear that. So I had to chime in with my thoughts. I have a 19-year-old son. And I left his father about 11 years ago and have been raising him pretty much by myself. The father is kind of disconnected. You guys have said a couple of things that really stuck out. But one of the things that I really wanted to chime in with is, as a single parent, I worked very hard to make sure that my child stayed in the child's place and that I didn't put things on him, right, that were not for him to be worried about. So as far as, like, protection and stuff, you are the man in the house, but you're not the man of the house. And you don't have to take care of me so much as I'm supposed to take care of you. So just an aside, I'm a I have a licensed firearm in my, like, we're good. Don't even worry about
that. Okay, you packing over there.
Oh, yeah. We got it. So I need you to do what you got to do. You take care of your school and you take care of, you know, whatever it is that you have to take care of, but making sure that I'm good is not one of those things. Obviously, as family, we're going to make sure we're, you know, we're good around the board. We're going to take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms
mm-hmm.
of protection, I don't necessarily need that. The other thing I wanted to say is that as a mom, I've worked really hard to, most recently because he's 19, I actually had to switch gears from showing him how to be respectful of women as a mom, where he may have had to be a little bit more submissive to me as a mom, to taking more of a leadership role as a husband or a boyfriend. So I've had to expose him to different things as well. And so that was an eye-opening experience because I don't want him to be somebody's doormat. I have to teach him how to be able to represent himself in relationships as well. So that's something that was an eye-opening. When somebody said that to me, I'm like, wow, you know, that's something that I definitely need to do for my son. So I just wanted to chime in and share that.
Yo, that was really important. I think you brought something out that is extremely key, is making sure that child stays a child and they don't have to grow up faster just because of it being one parent or starting to do things what may be considered the man of the house role. So that was key. New York stand up. What part of NY are you from?
I'm in the Bronx. And you have BX in the house, but you know, there's a lot of pressure and stuff. I mean, in New York especially, but there's a lot of pressure that these children have that we didn't necessarily have in our generation. We had our own pressures, but it's a lot of things that they have to worry about here in this electronic generation. And you know, there's no need for me to put any extra on it.
Man, that's key. Hey, appreciate you chiming in. That was dope.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, indeed.
I definitely agree with her. I definitely agree with the pressures because of it was no social media when we was coming up. You know, it was, you know, you had to go outside and talk to people. I mean, now it's just so everything.
Yeah.
The information is so fast. Things change so quick. You know, everybody's a celebrity. Like, you don't even really have to do anything to be a celebrity now. It's just so much, man, that these kids gotta, you know, some kids feel like they gotta live up to, you know, social media. Some kids understand that it's not all real, but it's still that pressure. So, you know, a single mom or a single father, I can imagine how hard that is, you know, to keep explaining that, especially when you come from a different era. Because even when I talk to my nieces and nephews, they don't understand when we say that it was a wire on the phone, like the landlines. They don't understand that it wasn't no cell phones, it was beepers. They don't know that. They don't know any of that stuff. So, I can imagine. I definitely can imagine. But she said something, too, that I thought was dope, like the balancing between, you know, respecting her and kind of like, you know, you kind of got to do what mom says, but then when you get a woman, you have to be aggressive. And I hope she didn't hang up. I wanted to ask her. It just hit me. I wanted to ask her how did that conversation go? Because that seemed like it would be hard. It's like, okay, mom, well, you're telling me to do this, this, and this, and this, but then with this lady, you're telling me to do this, this, and this. So I want to get her back on so she can answer that. I can't remember the – oh, I think she hung up. If I'm not mistaken, I can't find the number. Oh, man. But there you go. She popped back up.
I'm sorry. I'm making it a little difficult for you to find me on the host here. It went well because, believe it or not, you know, we're concerned about male influence on the male children being raised in a female household, believe it or not. And I learned this probably the hard way. There are so many outside influences. So you may introduce male influence to their lives through, like, uncles or brothers and stuff like that. But there's a lot of male influence, like, in the school system and things that we don't even really know about. So he was being influenced by his friends, teachers, and things like that that I didn't know about. So when I had the conversation, I said it, and he was like, yeah, like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nothing. Like, I had said something that was completely, like, unnecessary. He's like, yeah, I know there's a difference. And when I watch him in his relationships with females, there definitely is a difference. He does treat them differently than how he treats me. And, like, the respect that he had, not that he's disrespectful, but it's just a different kind of reverence that he has for mommy, and I'm grateful. So he's doing a great job.
So that's dope. Okay. That's dope. Definitely. I just wanted to
thank you,
Slide.
Yeah, that's the rule of the exception, but he's doing a good job.
Awesome. Okay. Thank
that's
you.
That's cool.
All right. Thanks for
appreciate that.
Helping me find you.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was dope. Let's get, go ahead.
Now, let's keep it flowing because I know that some people want to chime in on this particular subject before we try to transition, because I do want to address male single fathers with daughters and people's experience in dating a single father with daughter. So let's go ahead and let folks ride in.
Okay. 4879, GEI Radio, you on?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hello.
Good. How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to chime in definitely about the transition, whether it be raising a son or raising a daughter. I have an adult son and an adult daughter. And there was definitely a time before they turned 18, before that I had to just kind of switch gears from doing what I'm telling you to do all the time to letting them try to figure some things out so I could make sure that when they weren't in my house, they could handle themselves. But I did have a village. I created a village, and I made sure, because although I am a single woman, I was not a single, quote-unquote, single parent, because although their dads weren't there all the time, the village was there, and the village, my village is amazing. Even with my adult children now, my village, the village that was created for them and continued to be created for them before, you know, they graduated from high school, was there for them. At graduation, at, you know, my daughter has a daughter, so I'm a grandmother now. But even there, the village was there. The village was there helping her buy a house and being there for, you know, baby shower, gender reveals. And when there's been challenges with her relationship as, you know, with that child's father, you know, the village is still there. We operate a little different, but I can say that if you don't have a village, definitely creating that village is very important, because I never had to be a quote-unquote single mom and doing it by myself. I always had someone that I could, you know, either ask for help with just ideas of, okay, I don't understand this. Why are they doing, especially with my son, why is he doing this? I didn't do this as a kid. I don't get what this whole boy thing is. It made no sense to me. And I am older than my two brothers. My other brother wasn't raised in the house with me. So I didn't see some of these things that I saw him doing. It was like, I didn't pay any attention to that. So why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? And that village and those male figures were able to, and I'm one of the weird ones, even though I would, you know, not be dealing with a guy the same way we may quote unquote break up, but if he had a bond with my son, I left that alone, you know, because I just because we're not together and we're not trying to be together, if my son has a bond with him, that's more important to me to maintain that and do whatever I need to do. So if I need to, like, we don't speak anymore, but you and my son still speak, cool, no problem, because there's certain things that he would need to talk about that he's not going to necessarily talk to me about. You know, he's just not going to feel comfortable doing it. And I wanted to make sure that he always had somebody outside of his friends and outside of someone that we knew had a vested interest in his life. So, you know, that's how I handled it.
That's dope.
That's really dope. When you talk about creating a village, I think that that's so important, and that a lot of single parents don't necessarily know how to get started. And I want to back up a little bit, because sometimes just the pregnancy itself can be very awkward for certain people, right? You know, if they got pregnant by somebody who their family feel like, hey, you shouldn't have been messing with them anyway, or why'd you get her pregnant? She after your money, like I was talking about earlier. That right there can play a huge part when it comes to the parenting, because they either may feel alienated, right? Or, you know, it just may be a situation where, you know, they don't want to reach out to nobody. They want to try to figure it out on their own. If they were in the house and now, because they're pregnant, now that they're told to leave out the house because now you're grown, especially in our black communities, you know, the kid get pregnant, then, you know, hey, that means you're grown. So that means you got it all figured out. Now you got to find your way. And I know in my time frame, that's how a lot of families that I knew, that's how the parents were. They was like, hey, because number one, a lot of folks was in the church, right? So obviously that was against what goes on in the church. And so now it's almost like the parent felt obligated. I can't have my daughter in here and she pregnant. She's only 15, 16, 17 years old. Well, she ain't grown, and she's not married, or, you know, it's a little bit different with the guys, obviously, because that child is not in the house. But at the same time, the parents know that he's going to have to figure something out, right? Because he's either going to be paying child support, so now they want to make sure that he gets the paternity test. And so there's different pressures on that end, too. But when you talk about creating a village, you know, sometimes you have to create that village outside of your family members.
Well, I actually did. I did. My family, I mean, my family is great, but when I speak of my village, I'm not talking about my family at all. Because, you know, I was
well, relative, living outside. I guess I should say that. Relative.
Well, no, it wasn't relative either. It wasn't relative either.
No, I'm saying outside of. I'm saying outside.
Yeah.
Because we can still call our folks family, even though they're not blood.
Correct.
So I just wanted to make sure I changed that up.
Yeah. Yeah, so the village that was created, and I was very aware to create some differences in the villages for my son, and then for my daughters, because I have three girls and a boy, and so knowing that my son was going to need something a little different than I could provide on my own, and knowing that his dad was not going to be in the picture, for real, I had to make sure that he had a lot of men. And then my daughter, at the time, her dad wasn't trying to be a part. So the running joke was she was the kid with 100 uncles. And none of them that were people that I was dating. They were truthfully, and to this day, if she calls, they're coming running. Because they literally had a hand in picking her up from school when I had to work late. And when I was working 6 p.m. to 3 a.m., I never had to worry, was she going to be picked up from daycare on time, because they had it. And, you know, they made sure that any woman that they dated understood, hey, the niece has to be picked up, she has to be taken care of. And so it became an entire village of people that were outside of my family. And so it, for me, that was the way that I could handle not, quote unquote, being a single parent. Because I always had I always had a support system that was outside of my biological, but outside of my parents and my siblings, because they weren't, at the time, they weren't living in the same state. So I literally had to figure it out with the village, because my family wasn't living in the same state with me.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty important. And a salute to you, especially with four kids, three girls. I have three girls too, and a son. Who's the oldest? Is she the oldest?
My daughter is the oldest, and that's the one that has a daughter. But she owns her own home. She bought her first home before she turned 21. So she owns her house, lives in her house with her daughter and her daughter's father. And she's still in school full time. And then my son is still in school full time. Both of them, you know, with their scholarships and thing, it's just a matter of that transition from, you know, freshman year doing what mommy says that you have to do all the time, and then me trying to figure it out of how to allow them to make some decisions and make those mistakes so we could say, okay, this is how you prevent this from happening, you know, so the mistakes didn't hurt as much. Because I think you mentioned before, they have a lot more stuff that they have to manage and they have to deal with. And even with the, you know, racial profiling and all of that stuff, it's not new, but it's just, it's something different that, you know, they have to deal with. So I had to make sure that, you know, as much as I possibly could, I prepared them to be able to, no matter what happened, you were able to get back home safe.
No doubt.
So I had
much respect, man.
Yeah.
Much respect. Hey, we appreciate you chiming in for sure. Definitely added even another aisle of gems. So thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
Definitely. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Man, a lot of mommies calling in, man. We got the mommies calling in. I didn't realize that, single moms. You know, so I do want to say this, man. I do want to address this because the ladies that have been calling, those have been some really good examples. They made it happen. Regardless of the adversity and challenges and obstacles, you know, they made that happen. Now, on the flip side of that, can I throw a wrench in this whole thing, man? You know I got to, man, right? So let me add this. As a single father, when I say single father, I'm not talking about just the dad that had his kids every other weekend or once a month, anything like that. I literally had joint custody of my two youngest daughters. So, you know, I had to find a way to make it happen. So I have so much respect for mothers that, you know, take the kids to the hospital, take the kids to the appointments, get their shot, school, extracurricular activities, sports, all that kind of stuff. Now, what I wanted to say was, it's also, what is the best way to put it? It's also more, it's more condoned. It's also a lot more allowed that women receive help from outside influences, meaning whether it be the guy you're kind of dating, whether it be the guy that you're dating, whether it be the dude who wish you was carrying his baby, but the dude that you're pregnant with, you ain't fooling with him, whether it was a mistake or whether it was a one-hitter quitter type situation. And I find that it being a little bit more, intriguing to know that guys can contribute, right? Guys can contribute to that single mom and then not be a big deal. And I'm not even just saying that one guy that you kind of dating or just a friend. I'm talking about multiple. I'm talking about having multiple contributors, paymasters, or whatever you want to call it, being able to contribute. Now, if a single father, right, if he is any way, shape, or form, for whatever reason, entertaining other women or allowing other women to contribute in some way, shape, or form, then he's a bad guy for that. You know, whether he's allowing women to use their resources, I don't care if they're helping him get food stamps. I don't care. Helping him get food stamps or helping him get into a house or, you know, doing this for the kids or doing that for the kids. You know, he a player or something is wrong with him or he's not man enough or he's not handling his business. But they both single parents, right, and they both need resources, right? So at what point can you look past the parent and acknowledge that the kids are priority? Because there's men out here that are – okay, so let's just be real about it. The system, the government system, government assistance and things like that is not really catered to men. Like WIC, what is the initials for WIC? Women, infant, and children. There's no NIC, right? There's no such thing as NIC, right? And so when we start talking about the welfare system, that stuff was created for, quote unquote, the single parent, but was predominantly single women, right?
But Gigi,
so there's rules and regulations. You throw in Section 8. Go ahead.
But you got to look at it like this. If the men take care of the responsibilities, then we don't have this conversation. We don't have to worry about WIC and
right.
all that stuff if the men take care of his responsibilities. So we can't, you know, we can't, like, it's just one of them things where women can, you know, it's just one of those things, like, we can't look at it like they get away with it, but we can't. Sometimes that's just the way it is. You know, it's just like us sleeping with a bunch of women, and we are players, and them, they called whatever we call them. So it's the same thing with this. It's like women can get help from different men and don't be labeled as a bum or thing bad. But if a single father, whether he got one, two, three, or four kids, if a couple of women help him, then he's considered a bum or he can't take care of his kids. It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things, right? You just got to suck it. I mean, you got to deal with it, you know? I don't think that would ever change to some people, you know?
So, right. So I'm talking about parenting, right? I'm not talking about the ideology of a woman being promiscuous and a man being promiscuous and then being looked at differently. I'm talking about systemically, because and the reason being is when we talk about child support, and I know the calls are on, I see the lights on, right? But when we start talking about welfare, child support, things like that, it's not in the benefit of the children in terms of the a parenting plan, in terms of, you know, psychologically, what emotionally was best for the kid. It's a money thing. And in addition to that, because you said that, you know, it's just one of those things and women need help. Now, here's my thing, though. The system, and I'm talking about government assistance and different programs, they are not interested in how that child got here. So if that woman did whatever she did to get pregnant by that guy, or if she actually is pregnant by one man, but she's saying that this guy did it, the system is not built to differentiate that. He has to go through a process to do that. But overall, that assistance, and this ain't even, God, this is a GD rant, so you got to forgive me. I'm going to be off my high horse in a minute. Right, but I've always found it interesting when it comes to the resources available for single parents. So you have to put a program, which there's only a few, you have to put a program out there that really identifies that there is a systemic issue, because it's now a quote-unquote fatherhood program, or I need to see my kids, because, again, this, the system doesn't ask, well, why are you guys not together? Did you kick him out? Did he not do what you – did you guys – I mean, well, they're not asking those type of questions. You don't know if the father want to be in the kid's life and he's being held for ransom, right? So those are things that you're going to have to – you're going to have to take extra steps. And so the only reason why I say that is when we talk about households and building the communities, we don't know why people aren't together, right? We don't really know why they're not together. Just because they have a kid together doesn't mean that the kid was planned, right? And at the same time, even if the kid was planned, even if the kid was planned, we don't know the relationship of that couple. And there's nothing in place. There's nothing in place in the system that is to, okay, let's bring the father and the mother together and see why they're not together. There's no counseling for that. There's nothing. It's in place to keep them separated. Like, I don't know too much about Section 8, but one thing I do know about Section 8, one thing I do know about Section 8 is if a woman has Section 8, that brother, if they find out that brother is up in there, you cut off.
Yeah, thanks.
You cut off. But what program – what program is it to where if both parents are together and there's a certain, you know, income that they fall below, and I'm saying governmental, and I don't know if there is or not, but I'm saying what program is there to help families that are under a certain salary, or if one of them is unemployed, or if the kid has disability and one parent has to stay there? There's less programs than there is for couples to stay apart, and that's my rant, y'all. I do that every show. I had to get that off, so I'm good now.
No, I definitely, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's not. I mean, you know, of course, you know, the system don't want no man in the house, like especially no black man. You know, it is more beneficial if she kick him out. You know, it's crazy. I watched a documentary on that. I watched a documentary on, they were talking about that's how Chicago got so bad. They was building those homes, but they was telling them, like, if you want this cheap rent, if you want, you know, the free food, like, the father can't live there. And they was on good terms. Like, some of these families, it wasn't she didn't kick him out. He didn't not take care of the kids.
They just wasn't married.
But they needed somewhere to live.
They just wasn't married.
They needed somewhere to live, so he sacrificed. He said, I'll just, you know, come around every now and then. But that turned into staying away. You get what I'm saying? Like, it just, what's the word? I always mess this word up. Systemic racism. That's what it is. Systemic racism.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ways to break up the black families. And that's one of the ways.
Yeah.
And now it's
definitely
discriminatory. Yes, it's even higher now. So women don't – now it's like it's not even an agreement. It's like I'm getting this and you do what you need to do.
Right.
You know, it's like I'm going to get this Section 8 or I'm going to get this government assistance, and that's what it is. So it's just a messed up thing, man. But I don't know, Gigi, write your president. Write your vice president. Tell him to
– What? Put some programs in place, right? Well, I don't know, man. I mean, hey, folks are getting the PPP loans. You know, they're getting the stimulus now. And the folks are balling out, man. They balling out. They getting what they need now. Now, I just hope that folks be careful, you know, with that,
they going
kind
jail.
Of bread.
They going to jail.
There's too many people to put. Hey, listen, man. A lot of the world will be in jail if that's the case, man. But they going for it, man. They going for it, man. It's something. It's something.
If it's one thing America got room for, it's to put people in jail. They got that one. The money they make off the money yeah, they make off you sitting in there, they got room for that. Now, I just hope everybody, like I said, with, you know, just to lighten up the situation, but, you know, the people that did those loans, man, I pray that they did it the right way, because a lot of businesses, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs and people who lost really needed that money. You know, really needed that money to keep their businesses going, and people found a way to, you know, manipulate that, and they're using it for vacations and cars and, you know, clothes, when somebody was going to use that to pay their staff, you know what I mean, to keep their business running. So it's cool on social media when these people taking these pictures, I mean, taking these trips and stuff, but, you know, if you did it the wrong way, you got to look at how many businesses, black businesses that you hurt, that you took money from, that got to shut down now or got to fire people because it's no money there. You know, there's no more money there because people, you know, overdid it. So
I look at it like this, man. I don't think that they're taking money out of the black businesses. I don't think that these people here are getting that getting the loans for 10, 15, 20, 30K. I don't think that's hurting. I don't even think that's hurting black businesses. I think that the mega corporations are the one that's taking the money. So we thinking, you know, small, but there's companies out here getting 20 M's, 15 M's, 30 M's, and they got money. But because of the loopholes, you know, they're making sure that the way that they file and they taxes, I mean, come on. You got to understand that the way that America was built, man, there's already folks that have been doing stuff, right? They already been doing stuff for centuries. So the same people that break the rules make the rules. Same people that make the rules break
the rules.
More
reason, so, that's even more reason for you to be careful, because you ain't going to get the you're not going to get the leniency like they're going to get. Okay, they stole $20 million. They'll get probation. You stole $20,000, you're going to get life. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be careful when you're playing with the government and that money like that. It, like I say, it's all fun and games, but when they come, they coming, and it ain't going to be nothing you could do about it. You know what I mean? You're going to have to prove your businesses. Like I said, some people didn't even, they created these fake businesses. I just pray that everybody did it the right way. Even though I know they didn't, I just hope you did it the right way. Or I hope you're ready for your consequences. That's it, you know? If they come.
Yeah.
It may not come. They might just be like,
you know,
some money you was giving away.
Just like in boxing, man. Protect yourself at all times, man. That's
all
it.
Time.
Protect yourself at all times. Well, look, man, I already know that we're gonna have to finish another time. I want to thank everybody that chimed in. The ladies that chimed in, each one of them said something so significant that we can take some gems from. And it also, for me, it reinforced the strength of women, whether it be single mothers or not, just the strength, the resilience, and the focus of women, you know. And I always wonder what the motivation is. And again, you know, you may feel some type of way when I say this, but a lot of times when the dude leaves, that's when she be at her best. Am I wrong for that? That's when she pulls out her inner strength, when she loses that dead weight. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that person is holding them back or is a crutch because they doing things to be with them, to please them, to make them feel comfortable. But once you no longer have those type of stressors, man, you can focus on you. You can make sure that the family's straight. You can start, you know, putting your business together. You can go back to school. I mean, and I think that's what happens a lot, and I think that's how we got to the era of such strong, professional women, because they were sick of dealing with guys that wasn't holding up the end of the bargain, whether it be protecting, whether it be, you know, finance, whether it be the romance aspect, whether it be the physical aspect, making sure that everything's good. And then once them busters dipped, it's like, you know what, I'm down, right? I got to pick myself back up. I got to realize what is the bigger picture and how I'm going to get there. And I think that that's what, you know, the women have the blueprint of the comeback, man. They got the blueprint of it. They call it a glow up, right? But it's a comeback, man.
Just because a man is in a house doesn't mean that he's taking care of business. You know, you might see two-parent households, but that don't mean that he's doing what he needs to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, and vice versa. That don't mean that the woman is doing what she needs to do just because there's two parents in the house. So I definitely agree when one leaves.
Yeah.
It could be a situation where, you know, they feel like, okay, I got that dead weight gone. I can focus. You know, I'm not stressed out or having to worry about what he or she is not doing or bringing to the table. Because it ain't always just money. It ain't always just sex. It ain't always just, you know, it's a number of things, you know what I mean, far as men and women that can have somebody to shut down. So we see rich people have problems all the time in relationships. So it's not just money. There's a bunch of things that go into it. Sometimes it's just growth. You know, sometimes one of the the man or the woman is growing faster than the other one and have these ideas of what they want to do. And maybe the man ain't ready to move forward or the woman ain't ready to move forward. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
I can respect
men and women that make that change in life once they figure out that somebody is not right for them. Instead of just being like, well, I stayed for the kids. I don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that because I think that's you doing more damage than anything because you don't belong there, so you're not happy. So it's not beneficial to the kids or the woman or the man because you're in a situation where you don't want to be. I don't know why people think that they're not together, they can't take care of the kids, but I don't know.
That's a whole other situation, man, when you start dealing with people taking it personal when it comes to handling their business. And when I mean business, meaning their responsibilities. That's a whole other one. I think once we put that format on the platform and we have that episode, we'll probably have about 2 million callers, man, because folks got stories. Folks got stories about when they're no longer together, how that other parent falls off. Man, listen, there's too many stories for one episode on that one. That might have to be a two-part situation. And I don't even want to pull that scab off this evening, man.
We might got to chop that up. Might got to do that next week. We might got to see when we can get that in.
We might have to do that, man. We might have to do that. Hey, let them know how to stay connected, man, with the show and everything you got going on. Everyone, last week we wasn't on. We had a G.I. Tone, man, celebrating his birthday. And, this guy's been traveling. This guy's been – he's been working. And he's been making sure that his team stays connected, man. I saw an interview that you were on with another guy. And I believe it had to be in Maryland because the dude that was the host accent was so heavy. Now you got to be like, T.U. You know how to say T.U. 3 T. So I was like, yeah, it had to be in Maryland. But man, it was so cool to get a little bit more information about the whole GEI organization, how you guys came about, and all the different cities and countries that you guys are rocking in, man. So salute to you, man. Congratulations.
Thank
much continued success. Man, you and your wife are definitely a power couple, man. So it's always good to see, you know, black folks and excel. And so, man, salute to you, brother.
I appreciate it. Yeah, before I do that, I think the day we was at a premiere.
Yeah, for sure.
You had a role in that movie, right?
I did. I think the trailer may be floating around somewhere on my social media, but yeah, K Smiles Entertainment right here in Atlanta, world premiere of her first film. And she's one of those that has been, you know how you got the people that's in the industry that have always played in the background, they produced and they've directed and things like that. But actually being able to create their own project is, you know, puts you on a whole nother level, especially personally and professionally. So the movie Senseless, you guys stay tuned. I know that it'll be available. I think there's one more premiere before they release it and have all that information. But, you know, I got a chance to play a really cool role, which almost literally piggybacked the role of you guys' independent film, Our Sons. You know what I mean? I got to pull up with the shade, you know what I'm saying? I was gangster with it, you know. So it was really cool, man. So I look forward to that, man. But I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it.
Man, that's dope.
It was a lot of fun. I look forward to it. I look forward to some more work.
Dope. That's awesome, man. But definitely keep it up, man. Keep up the good work and everything that you got going on. All the stilettos and brims. I know you got a big thing at the end of June. So. Definitely keep it up, man. Keep pushing. We can meet at the top. But
yes, sir.
You want to follow the show, you can go to Instagram, necessary_convo, or you can follow the radio station at GEI Radio on all social media platforms. You can follow myself on all social media platforms, GEI_tone. Please follow the network on Roku, GEI Network. Download it. We got a couple films and stuff up there, documentaries, some interviews. GG got an interview, my story. That was pretty dope. So that's pretty much it, man. Where can they find you at, GG?
Yeah, you guys can definitely find me at your nearest AMC. No, I'm just kidding. All social media platforms, you can find me, GG After Dark. You can also find me all social media handles. I am Rob Malloy. Just for those that ask me about where did GG come from, that's a whole other show. However, GG is my personality, right? GG is my personality, and he just didn't come about this show. So that's a whole other situation, but by all means, Instagram, I am Rob Malloy. You can find me there. I am Rob Malloy on Facebook, Twitter as well. Also, website, robmalloy.com. And just to reiterate, if you're in the Atlanta area, June 26th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Four Point Sheraton, 10 minutes away from the airport, have an event called the Luxury Ball. So if you're ready to get dressed up, elegant situation. I'll be giving away two tickets to whoever likes and shares Necessary Convo. I'm going to pick a winner this Thursday. You got to like Necessary Convo so that hopefully you listen to Tone, right? And you like and you share. You share at least one of our posts that lets people know our show every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just stay connected on my social media. I'm going to try to give away as many tickets as I possibly can because I know that right now a lot of people, they just want to break. They want to do something nice. They want to do something elegant. You can come by yourself. You can bring your boo. You can bring your entanglement partner, whatever you want to do. There's tables, and there's even some spaces for some sponsors and vendors. But that window is closing very soon. So yeah, that's that. Did we miss anything, Tom?
That's everything, man. That's everything right there. Everybody enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be safe.
Yeah.
Both side back open. That's it, man. Peace.
That don't mean you got to be there just because it's out. Oh, this is open. I don't mean your ass got to be there. So be careful.
Yeah, definitely be careful.
Hey, man.
Be careful.
All right, man. You guys be good, man. Peace. We out.
All right. Peace out.